listening to Discorder Radio Show on CITR 101.9 FM. This is Anna with one N, and today is Wednesday, October 12th. This is the second show of this month. As you know, if you follow the show, it's only twice a month. It's every other Wednesday, and for half an hour, we'll be covering today bands that have been under review on this month's issue. That was Sunny Pompeii with song Who Knows Who Knows. This band, it's apparently a very young band. Their album is, their debut EP is titled Breakfast of Champions. And they're Vancouver-based quartet, and Shane Scott Travis reviewed them this month, and he describes them as a brief and breezy batter that's sweet in most of the right places. It is an easy and rewarding listen, one that is smooth, earnest, and unpretentious. It doesn't come across as overly elaborate or snippy. And there you had it. That was Who Knows Who Knows by Sunny Pompeii. Check them out. And so we're going to continue the song, this show, not the song. We're going to play a song to continue the show by another band that was reviewed, another album. The band is called Shaky Snakes, and also known as Ian Johnston. And he just released a 5-song EP titled Glowing. And this is a song title Hold On To Your Rock and Roll. You're listening to the Discorder Show on CITR 101.9 FM.
I'm
that was Shaky Snakes with the song Hold On To Your Rock and Roll, and Jeremy Stothers reviewed him for this month's issue, and he calls them Vancouver's newest chill waver. That was actually a very chill song, and he has a new EP out titled Glowin', and yeah, there he was. Shaky Snakes, also known as Ian Johnson. And so today's show, I'm trying to cover a few songs that or music that has been under review on this month's issue. And so I have in studio with me today Kamil Kravchik. I think I got it.
It's pretty close, actually. I'm impressed.
I did my homework. I told you. Well, you know, Adam does. He did give me like a little.
How to be Polish?
Yeah.
Oh, okay, I got
how
you.
How to speak Polish, so I got it. So anyways, Kamil has been working, writing, working also, both, for Discorder magazine, specifically for the under review section. So he grabs a couple of albums and writes about them, and then it's published. So here he is. And this month he reviewed B-Monster, so he is here today to speak a little bit about it. Okay, so how do you feel when you first listened to them? What was your B-Monster experience, and how did you come around to write about them?
Well, I mean, it wasn't a hard album to review at all. I put it into my computer, I let it play. It was only about half an hour long, but it was awesome. And I mean, it's one of those albums you can just pick up and play at any time, and it's just fun. And what I really liked about B-Monster is that they don't really follow typical trends, you know? They have this tendency to go their own way and to write their own music, and I really admire that. That's another reason I really like the album. It's you can tell they're having fun, and they're writing music for their own sake, not writing music for the sake of others, and that's really awesome, and it's really evident on this album.
So they got you.
Oh, yeah, they got me.
And okay, so tell us a little bit about the you told me you've been doing this for about a year.
Mm-hmm.
And would you recommend this to anyone out there listening to come over to the station and try to like sign in to the list of like reviewers, or how do you get your stuff published, I think would be the question.
Well, first of all, I'd highly recommend people to do this. It's great. Personally, I'm a science student, and I don't have a lot of time to, you know, write independently. I mean, I can take an English class, but it's not the same. And so this is a great way to expand your breadth of knowledge and just kind of write. And if you want to participate and write for Discorder, regardless if it's under review, or there's tons of sections you could participate in. But all you have to do is pop by the station. I mean, we're located in the upper floor of the sub. It's pretty easy to find. There's a big CITR sign outside. Another thing you could do is grab a copy of the magazine or check out the website. And we've got emails for the editor and everybody that's part of Discord. You can just fire off an email and say, hey, I would like to do some writing for you guys, mm-hmm. and see how that goes from there.
Good. So there you have it. That was Kamil, again, Kravchik. You wouldn't believe how I ended up figuring out your last name. So Kraft, like the cheese.
Kind of, yeah.
Brand, and then Chick, like chicken.
That's what was my nickname back in the day. Kraft Chick. But it's, yeah.
Well, you can scroll down on the discorder.ca webpage and check out more of Kamil's reviews. And yeah, he will be writing for the next issue, right?
As well. Oh, yeah. Something. I've got an album, My 41st and Home, I'm looking forward to review, and that's going to be great. They're a local band, so... Oh, obviously.
Well, Discorder does allow a little bit of some, like,
some leeway,
outsiders, but yeah, we focus on the local. That's what's
outsiders.
Important.
That's a unique word.
Outsiders. Okay, so do you have a favorite song from B-Monster?
Yeah, actually, I really liked Naked Machine Gun Girls, as awkward as that title might sound.
All right. Well, why don't you introduce a song and we'll play it?
Naked Machine Gun Girls would be great.
All right, here it goes. Let's see if this works. Oh, buffering.
Right.
was B Monster with Naked Machine Gun Girls. That's a nice thing to say, I guess. Check them out. Vancouver bass band, rock and roll, good stuff. Their album, I believe, is titled At Large and B Monster. Check them out. So I'm going to move on real quick. We have 5 minutes left for the show. It was a tight one today. Megan Thomas, Discorder's very own Megan, interviewed Caitlin Fontana. She is the author of Fresh at 20, the history of Mint Records. They're celebrating their 20th anniversary, and the book was launched, I believe, just last Thursday. So Megan was kind enough and great enough and fantastic, as she always is, to get this interview for the show. So here is Megan.
So we are here with Caitlin Fontana, author of the amazing oral history of Mint Records, Fresh at 20. Hi, Caitlin. How are you?
Hi, I'm well, thanks. Thank you for having me.
Oh, it's fantastic to have you. Now, I know you were just on Dunkin's Donut, so make sure you guys check that out. And he called you local writer, comedian, and all-around cool lady. Now, before you came to write the definitive tome on Mint Records until now, you did a lot of music writing. Tell us a little bit about how that music writing got you to this book.
I've been a music writer for about a decade now, and just sort of forged my own path through that. I didn't go to journalism school, two creative writing degrees from UBC, actually. And I just basically always loved music journalism. And when I was an undergrad, I started a music-related insert into the underground newspaper, which was the art satire paper, similar to kind of like the Onion's AV Club. That became sort of my baby, and I nurtured my way through university that way. You just build up a body of work, and you build up your skills, and I went on to write for, Spin and Rolling Stone and Exclaim.
Do you have a story in the book, or maybe an anecdote from writing the book itself that sums up the experience for you?
You know, it's a tough question to answer because there's just been so many things that I sort of appreciated. But for me, as a fan, let's say, one of the things that I really enjoyed was kind of walking through the process of how Mass Romantic got put out with the New Pornographers, just because I had some inkling as to how it came to be. But just really digging into that in a super nerdy way and looking at all the ins and outs of the process that went behind making that record and also how it, got to be the record that it was for Mint and for the band. That was all very interesting to me. And just the different perspectives from Carl to other members of the band like John, and just to kind of see how they all sort of saw what they thought that project was going to be at the time, which for most of them was just a side project to other things that they were working on, and then how it sort of over time moved into the forefront for all of them. So that discovery was great.
Now, obviously you were well-versed in music culture in general. What about the Vancouver scene came to light while you were researching and gathering stories for this book?
I would call myself a specialist as opposed to a generalist. When I get interested in something, I pursue it. And I've only been a Vancouverite for the past decade. I moved here to go to university. So just discovering the intricacies of the scene here, going back those 20 years, I would say that was the biggest thing to me, that just the close-knit nature of the scene and the kindness, I would say, of everybody sort of, not always, obviously, but for the most part, people really wanting to help each other become part of the scene. And there's a familial element to the Mint story that I think is really interesting and instructive.
Yeah, I think Mint probably represents some of the best of Vancouver, both in terms of music and in terms of just attitude and approach to getting things done.
Yeah, I would say so.
Now, I know that you had your book launch recently over at W2, and you said that you wanted to make it a party. So did you have a good time? Was it a good turnout?
Yeah, it was a great turnout. A lot of awesome people, a lot of familiar faces from the Mint world, and also just, friends and family. And it was great to bring all of those elements together in one room and to sort of celebrate not just the book and you know, the author. Mm-hmm. But the but just the that scene and their history without it being about them or them feeling like they had to put on their own party, you know, I really wanted them to be able to enjoy that moment, and that was a nice after effect of that too.
What's next for you with this book? Are you going to take it across Canada?
Future is open. We'll see. There are bands, obviously, from other Canadian cities like Winnipeg and Calgary, and so there are possibilities for, you know, travel to other places. But mainly, it's my love letter to Vancouver. So the important thing to me is that Vancouverites get to have access to this story and get to appreciate it. Toronto has enough stuff.
Something that the locals get to read about themselves, it's few and far between, for sure.
Yeah.
Great. Well, thanks for talking to us, Caitlin. And, you know, from everyone at CRTR, congrats. And congrats to Mint Records on 20 great years. And here's to another 20.
Yeah.
Okay.
Right on.
Fantastic.
Thanks, okay. Megan.
Thanks to Caitlin for joining us on Discorder Radio. And please do check out a review of Fresh at 20, an oral history of Mint Records, in this month's Discorder, October 2011.
And that was Megan with a great interview with Caitlin Fontana. And we have reached the end of the show. So this is going to be an express going through the calendar and recommending upcoming shows with Camille here. So what do you got, Camille?
All right. First off, every Tuesday weekly, we have the CITR Shindig at the Railway Club. And it's this great local band competition, you know, lots of fun. And we're going to announce a winner shortly, or I think in a couple months. I'm not too sure.
I think this summer.
I think, yeah, probably the summer. But more information can be found on the CITR website. Apart from that, we've got, I'm really looking forward to Chad Van Gallen and Flash Palace at the Rio this Saturday. And we've also got B.A. Johnson at Pat's Pub, which will be a great show. If you want to check out the full calendar, it is in the Discorder print magazine. So pick it up. It's all over campus, and give it a look.
All right, and I would recommend Light and Dust. They will be Thursday, October the 20th at the Waldorf, which will be a very cool venue to check them out. And Light and Dust is this, they're the same band members as Black Mountain and Pink Mountain
Tops.
Oh,
really?
Yeah.
Oh.
There you go.
Okay, definitely check that out.
It's the girls, actually.
Really?
Yeah, it's the female vocals at its best. Light and Dust is like, I can't remember her name, but... yeah, it's more of like the girly side of.
Oh, okay. Those are some of the best parts. And
but yeah, exactly. They're wonderful. I've never seen them live, and I think it will be worth checking out this Thursday, the 20th, at the Waldorf. Okay, so that was it for today's show. Coming up next, Anita with Sam Squash's. I can never say it. Sam Squash's Hideaway, and we will be. I will be and. Camille will be. We all will be. I haven't eaten today. I need some food. And I'll be signing off with another song of Sonny Pompei because I actually really like them. And they're under the review section this month. And it was a CD that was just handy here. And so here they are with their song. Let me just make sure I'm saying the right information. The Death of Death. And that's Sonny Pompei.
Deep.
It's pretty deep. What a way to sign off, eh?
Exactly.
All right, thank you so much for coming.
Oh, no problem.
You'll hear more of his lovely voice on upcoming Discorder radio shows. Check out the podcast and subscribe to it. And until next Wednesday, here is Sonny Pompei. Or not. And there you go. See you next time.
Over the counter, not through the broke door, hardwired, joyride. Now that everyone's dead, you feel alive. Now you even like the sunrise. Under the canopy.
You are listening to CITR 101.9 FM Vancouver. My name is Anita B, and this show here is called Sam Squanch's Hideaway. And my headphones are okay. There we go. Much, much better. Anyways, I'm here until 8 o'clock. It's currently 6:40. It's like 6:41 or so. And that band that we just heard is Duotang. And we heard the song... Let's see, Smash the Ships and Raise the Beams, from then, which is the title track to their 1996 album, I do believe. Now, tonight is, I suppose for myself, kind of a special night, as it is for you all, because I am going to be playing, I think, all Mint record bands. I think so. That's my intent here. And because there's a reason. It is the 20th anniversary of Mint Records. Mint Records was formed in 1991, of course, if we're at 20 years. And let me find my book here. And there is a book.
Hold on.
Here we go. Okay. So there was a book just recently released entitled Fresh at 20. It's the oral history of Mint Records. The author is Caitlin Fontana. And... this is a very interesting book. Just on Thursday was the actual book release party. My husband was there. And I guess I have sort of an insider's sort of perspective on it, because Well, my band, I was in a band actually at one point. We were not a Mint Records band, but my husband's band, his name would be Rolf, is an alumni of Mint Records. So back in like 19. 19-